Debbie Wade faced the media yesterday. She told a news conference in Johannesburg organized by Women and Men Against Child Abuse of the sexual abuse she suffered more than 40 years ago. Debbie Wade joins us now. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
What a story. And I hope that beginning to tell it and being listened to and it being public is beginning to help you deal with it.
John, I do have to say that I've been telling this story for a long time. I just haven't been heard. So I think, you know, there's a perception that it's just something that I decided to come forward to talk about, you know, 40 years on. I have been talking and telling my story and trying to get somebody to hear me and take me seriously for 17 years.
Let's go back. It's the abuse started in 1979. You were ten years old, and the abuse was at the hands of the 13-year-old son of your then swimming coach.
Correct.
And how long did it? Sorry, you were going to say.
It went on for about 6 years.
And during that time, I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like to be a 10-year-old girl and have this happen to you. I don't know how you process that and deal with it and decide what to do about that reality in your life.
John, I think that's also, you know, something that you realize, and I think that is why, you know, historical cases are so important. When you are a young child, I don't think that you do process it. And I don't think that you understand what is actually happening. And I think that the older you get, the more you, you know, the more you understand and the more you process and the more you realize what actually happened to you, you know, that you were groomed and you were, you know, you were abused. It's a very, very confusing time for a young child, and I think that is why we need to have you know, strong processes in place to make sure that this type of abuse doesn't happen, and that's what I'm calling for.
At the time, the abuser was 13, and one can, I suppose, make an argument that at 13 you don't perhaps realize that what you're doing is wrong. But if it continued for 6 years, that takes the abuser to 19. And by that time, or well before that time, he must have known that what he was doing was wrong and chose to continue doing it.
John, again, I'm not prepared to comment on, you know, his state of mind or what was going on. You know, we're in a legal process now. So, you know, I'm not prepared to comment on that.
Again, fair enough. I'm just sort of thinking out aloud. 20 years you've been trying to tell your story, which means that there was a 20-year period when you were not telling your story. What was was there a trigger point, or was it a kind of growing realization that you needed to begin telling the story of what had happened to you, even though it had happened to you that many years before?
So I think the most important thing to understand about sexual abuse is the shame and the guilt and the silence that goes around it. You know, when children are abused sexually, you are so confused. And for me, it was just a matter of bearing it. And you don't want to go there. It was such a dark, dark time for me. Mm. But I had... I gave birth to my own child, and that triggered it for me, you know. And when I gave birth, I suffered severe postnatal depression for 18 months. You know, I don't even remember much of my child's, you know, first 18 months. It was so severe. And I was put into psychotherapy. And just working with my psychiatrist and my psychologist, just trying to unravel why. And Luke Lumprecht, from women and men against child abuse. They've been so amazing with me. He made a very interesting comment yesterday. He said, you know, when people show signs of hurt and, you know, difficult behavior, you mustn't ask, you should ask what has happened to them, you know. What has happened to them to make them like this? And so working with my psychologist, really uncovering something that I had buried so deep down. And I think that is really, you know, how it came forward. But the thing that has traumatized me is that she revealed to me that she was also treating two young girls. So I was 34 at that time, and she was treating 12 and 13-year-old girls by the same mistakes, who had suffered the same abuse at his hands. So I realized that it was not just me. 24 years later, Mr. X was still continuing this pattern of abuse.
And then, Debbie,
that traumatized me.
Yeah. Who did you try to tell your story to during those close to two decades of your saying, this happened to me, will somebody hear me, and not being heard?
So she encouraged me, my psychologist encouraged me to go to the then president of KZN Aquatics, Mr. Ron Andrews. I took a specific trip down to Kings Park Swimming Pool. I had a meeting with him. I told him about another girl that swam with me. I referred to her as Suzanne. She's also come forward. She was actually 2 years older than me. So her abuse started before mine. So in my mind, I knew of four people. And I told him about this. And his response to me was, it didn't surprise him much, because there had been various allegations about Mr. X over the years, but there was never any evidence. And I'm not sure what evidence he wanted me to give to him. But he just dismissed it, and he didn't go to the police. He didn't report it. He didn't investigate it. He just, that was the end of the discussion.
How long ago was that, Debbie?
That was in 2003.
Okay.
So for 17 years, then in 2004, I went to the police and I tried to lay a charge. They sort of also dismissed me. They didn't even take a statement. They were like, well, that's a long time ago. Where's the evidence? I spoke to Suzanne and I asked her if she would come forward with me. She was a young mother at the time and she was reluctant. She wouldn't come forward with me. And it was just a nightmare for me. You know, for 17 years, just trying to get somebody to hear me and to help me. And I think, you know, with the Hewitt case, you know, and times have changed and the language has changed, and I sort of just became a little bit more hopeful again in 2019 that perhaps, you know, perhaps the time was right and somebody would hear me.
And you have been heard. The extent to which you've been listened to and believed,
well,
that remains to be established. But they're,
well, not really, unfortunately, not really.
Oh, okay.
So I went back to Swimming South Africa on the 18th of July and again revealed my abuse to the president, Mr. Alan Fritz. He instituted an investigation. And I think once he found out who the coach was, just went quiet on me. There was a report done. I'm not able to see the report. They are trying to institute their own sort of internal disciplinary process, and which, you know, to me is wrong. It's a criminal matter. Mr. X should be suspended, you know, pending the outcome of this. But Luke has helped me with Women and Men Against Child Abuse. They've shown me the correct process. They're walking me through the process. And I just think, you know, sporting bodies shouldn't be involved in they're not the experts in this.
And it is, Debbie, an international phenomenon around the world. Women who are now in their 30s and 40s and even older are coming forward because, as you say, correct, the environment has opened up to the point where they begin to believe that they might be taken seriously. And it's in gymnastics and it's in swimming and it's in all sorts of sports where young girls go in the hopes of becoming good enough to maybe make a living out of it or be the best that they can in that particular sport. And there are these rapacious men waiting for them. Licking their lips.
So, you know, I was a good swimmer. I won the mid-mile twice. I was an SA swimmer. And I landed up hating swimming. But I realized I didn't hate the swimming. I hated the abuse around it. So for me, it was just easier to stop swimming. And, you know, there's a whole culture. People say that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I say it takes a village to abuse one as well. And the parents that are more, you know, performance is more important, not listening to their children, the welfare of their children is not important. It's all about the medals and the performance. And it's disgraceful.
You did, again, this is something, given the pending court action, that you might not want to comment on, Debbie, but you did confront Mr. X at some point in this.
I did. I actually wrote him a registered mail letter in October of 2003 out of desperation and wrote him a letter pleading with him to stop, I spoke to him about the other girls that I was aware of. And I sort of made it my mission to, just to try and get somebody to hear me so that I don't sleep at night. Like, I'm so worried that other children are going through this. It's abuse is terrible. You never get over it. You never just move on. You know, I've had people saying, well, this will help with your healing and maybe you can get closure. You need to understand you never get closure.
It was quite clear listening to the testimony in the Bob Hewitt case, which you referenced earlier, Debbie, that those brave women who took the stand and testified as to what Bob Hewitt had done to them, it's very, very obvious that this stays with you and stays with you as a very negative force in your life for forever.
You see, the first sexual interaction that I ever had was as a little 10-year-old girl who didn't really know anything. And so that will forever change your perception of everything, who you are, your psyche, your relationships. It will forever change you.
So where are we now? Swimming South Africa has done its own investigation. Apparently, some of the reports suggest that there are three different coaches under investigation for similar allegations against them. Where are you in terms of the criminal case?
As far as I understand, my docket has gone to the prosecutor to see whether the case will be prosecuted.
That decision has yet to be made.
Correct.
Debbie, I really appreciate it can't be easy. You know, every time you talk about this, you bring back memories and you're reminded of the horrible silence that you had to endure. But thank you very much for chatting to us this afternoon.
I just want to say it is easy because we need to break the silence around abuse. And there's no shame. These people do to young children, they're the ones that should carry the shame.
Debbie Wade, thank you very much indeed.